How did I get to write this book? I met John McCormick in 1968. I had just been hired by the University of Vermont, and I was going to begin my first class in September. And I was in Washington, D.C. at the American Political Science Association meeting. And I was, my dissertation was going to be on leaders of the House of Representatives. So it was Labor Day weekend. The Capitol was deserted. So I walk into the Capitol, and I decide to walk over to the Speaker's office, you know, see if anybody I could talk to. And so I go to the Speaker's office, and I meet his chief of staff, and I said, I'd like to talk to somebody about John McCormick. And he said, would you like to talk to John McCormick? And yes. So he escorts me to McCormick's office. See the two of us sitting down. And I said, Mr. Speaker, I've got one serious question for you. You were put on the Ways and Means Committee, which is the most important committee in the House of Representatives because it writes all the tax legislation, in your third year in the House. And McCormick said, it was a record. I said, I know it was a record. Now, how did that happen? He said, well, I went to Speaker Garner. Now, Garner was John Nance Garner. He was FDR's first vice president, was Speaker of the House at the time from Texas. Cactus Jack was his nickname. So McCormick goes to Garner because he wants to, he's on a shitty, two shitty committees, territories, you're from South Boston, not going to do anything, and elections number three. So I said, what's elections number three like? He said, I don't know, we never met. So he goes to Garner. He wants to go on the Judiciary Committee where he served in the Massachusetts legislature. So Garner said, John, where the hell you been? We wanted you to chair the caucus. McCormick's a flabbergasted. I didn't even think he knew my name. So then he says, oh, we got Bill Arnold to do it. He said, so how'd you like to be on the Ways and Means Committee? You know, how'd you like the keys to the kingdom? McCormick couldn't believe it. So he said, well, here's what you do. I'll get all the Texans to vote for you, and you get Billy Connery to blow his nose at you, endorse you. Now, Billy Connery was a senior Democrat from Massachusetts. So I said, Billy Connery? He said, yes. He's from Lynn. We got a Connery school. We got a Connery Legion. I know who Billy Connery is. And at this point, McCormick reaches into his drawer, pulls out a cigar, and hands it to me. So there I am, I'm 26 years old, brand new instructor, college instructor, smoking cigars with a 76-year-old Speaker of the House. Well, he's telling me stories, you know, about, you know, all the people who served with Will Bankhead and Rayburn, and, you know, it was just a fabulous lecture I was receiving from McCormick, puffing away on my cigar with the Speaker. And so that's what I say. I want to, someday I may write about this guy. Well, of course, I finished my dissertation, and then I eventually get tenure, in spite of pissing off multiple people in the university. So now we move on to John's career. This is a quote from Judge Joe Feeney. Judge Joe Feeney, whose daughter is a bankruptcy judge in Boston. Feeney was McCormick's last key assistant. And you can see what he says here. McCormick says, there will be no biographies. There will be no biographies. I want nothing written about me. And of the 12 speakers of the House, from Sam Rayburn in 1940 to Paul Ryan today, until my book came out, he was the only one of the 12 speakers had no book about him. None. And that was the plan. Okay, and I'll explain why. Okay, let me know. This is John's death certificate. And John's death certificate says his mother was born in Ireland and his father was born in Ireland. Nice story, not true, but nevertheless, a nice story. So this is the prevailing story that McCormick will tell the world. Now, why? Now, McCormick, okay, this is his reinvented life. At the time of the death of my father, I was a young man, a boy, 13 years old. He was a stonemason. The family was left in very bad financial circumstances. I graduated from the grammar school, and I had to leave the grammar school to go to work in order to try to keep the family together. His highest level of education is eighth grade. Okay, this is a story he gives to the clerk of the house. Okay, here we are. Here's Boston. We're in a bizarre shape in Boston. What makes it bizarre is that Brookline never joined. Alston and Brighton joined, but Brookline never did. So Brookline's not even in Suffolk County. Brookline's in Norfolk County. And, of course, it's the birthplace of course, Jack Kennedy, Mike Dukakis, both born in Brookline. So Southie, of course, is, you know, jutting out into the into the harbor. Okay, now I lived in South Boston for a semester to basically get some sense of the us-them tensions that existed. I went into a bar, if you remember the movie Good Will Hunting, the L Street Tavern. So I went to the L Street Tavern, and it was late afternoon, I was going to get a beer, and the guy to the left of me got served, and the guy to the right of me got served, and the guy behind me got served. I knew I wasn't going to get served, because he didn't know who I was. He probably figured I was FBI, and I was, you know, checking on the IRA. So I said, okay, so that's when I learned us them still exists in Southie. Well, this is a map of South Boston. Those dots are where McCormick was born, where he was baptized, where he was married, and where his funeral took place. All within about 14 blocks in South Boston. This is the definition of a provincial. So he was, you know, a true provincial. And now, the next one, now here's why he has to cook up his life story. These are the gatekeepers of Irish Boston. Martin Lomasny, he was from the West End. That was the most ethnically diverse of the wards, Ward 8. And he was never married. And he was known as the Mahatma, Next to him is John Francis Fitzgerald, a.k.a. Honey Fitz, Jack Kennedy's maternal grandfather, and he was from the North End, which was initially Irish and then became Italian. I think he's now Latino, but and the best Italian restaurants in the city. Next to him is P.J. Kennedy, Patrick J. Kennedy. This is Joe Kennedy's father. This is Jack's paternal grandfather. And the bottom photo is James Michael Curley, the irrepressible James Michael Curley, ran for Boston, mayor of Boston 10 times, won 4 times, was governor of Massachusetts, and did 2 stints in prison, 1 state prison and 1 federal prison. Okay. And that was Jim Curley. Now, so here are their lives. Okay, you can see the section of Boston. Lomasny from the West End. His father was born in Cork. His mother in Waterford. Fitzy was born in North End. Mother and parents both born in Wexford. Although Fitzy used to move the county around, depending on the nature of the crowd. Oh, your people, where are your people from? Oh, they're from Mayo. Oh, my people are from Mayo. Oh, they're from Galway. Oh, my mother's from, I sent your mother from Galway. And Fitzy would, you know, cook it, depending on the crowd, he kept moving the birthplace of his parents. And now we have Eastie. This is, of course, this is for Wexford as well, for P.J. Kennedy's parents. And then Jim Curley's parents came from Galway. And if you have been to Ireland, that Galway's more fun in Galway than any city in Ireland. And certainly, poor sad Dublin, which is a kind of a London wannabe, not much fun there. But you can start to see the number of the children. And look at the age of the father's death. 11 for Lomasny, 18 for Fitzy, 2 for P.J. Kennedy, and 10 for Jim Curley. So you had to have Irish parents, both sides, and you had to have fathers dying young. That you had to be on your own early on in your life.